Welcome to Culinary Medicine Chats, where we talk with industry experts and learn about best practices and innovations in the field. I'm your host, Olivia Thomas. Hi, everyone. My name is Olivia Thomas, and I am co-founder of Rewire Health, and I'm here today with Shireen Chow. Shireen, welcome.
Thanks, Olivia.
To kind of kick it off, I'd love to hear more about you and your background.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me on. My name is Shireen Chow. I'm based in Los Angeles, and I'm one of the co-founders of Food and Planet, a dietitian-created nonprofit focused on planetary health, food, nutrition, and everything in between to support sustainable food systems. I recently joined the advisory council for the Teaching Kitchen Collaborative, and I've worked in all different spaces focused on the intersection of sustainable food system, culturally inclusive nutrition education, and different teaching kitchens.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like you have a wealth of knowledge and you've been in many different sectors. I know just from getting to know you over the last few years, you've had roles in the nonprofit space, in like program implementation. I know you worked at a medical school. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I could tell you about how that came about. So I helped co-create one of the first culinary med courses at USC Keck Med School, and that was a few years back. So that started based out of my first role as the nutrition director of this social enterprise called LA Kitchen. And this was the same model and same founder as DC Central Kitchen. And what I loved about LA Kitchen, it was a startup, a nonprofit social enterprise. There was nothing like that in Los Angeles at the time. And this was in 2015 is when I joined. And we looked at all different aspects of the food system as well as the community. So we worked with people who were former foster youth, formerly incarcerated, formerly houseless individuals. And we worked with all these different communities and people through a culinary job training program. And there was a whole team behind that program. And through that and through this organization, we were able to create meals and supply food for low-income seniors all throughout Los Angeles County, as well as help different people in our courses build skills. And I help create some nutrition lessons for each of the classes. And one of the joint projects we had was working with Keck Med School, and that's where we brought in the med students and created this joint program where we involved a community-based teaching kitchen, which was our program, as well as a med school, and really creating these two intersections and groups of people and having the future doctors and these future doctors and students learn from our culinary job training students. So being able to put our students in a leadership position and role. And it was a really great experience for both sides and both communities. And then that led on to a continued program at the med school. And then it was hosted at the county hospital across the street.
That's incredible. I love how you've taken an opportunity and not only kind of put yourself within like medical practice and how dietitians can work with physicians and how kind of food is important, but then also tapping into the larger food system and local food system. That's quite a feat.
Yeah. And I learned so much in that role and so much about food waste and, you know, serving our community through different ways that different groups can interact and come together. So much food is thrown out or imperfect. And I know now we have, you know, imperfect produce and Misfits Market and a few other different programs out there. And all these different foods, we would get food from trucks that either had maybe a pallet that was dented or a few boxes that were dented. And this was perfectly great food but it was would have been going to the landfill if we didn't take it in, and we were able to transform these this produce into meals that we can serve community. And a lot of the places that we were serving, they were receiving community meal programs, so the senior meal programs, which are offered Monday through Friday and just once one meal a day, so for the lunch service. And of course, most of us eat more than one time a day and more than just Monday through Friday. And so being able to supplement a lot of the meals for these different communities was really, really a great thing, and a great thing we were able to do. And it was wonderful to see our students be able to contribute to the community and different people in that way.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of lesson learned and what incredible learnings. Kind of going off of that, maybe talk to me a little bit more about food and planet. It sounds like I don't know how these two relate, but it sounds like very similar like missions, and I would kind of love to hear more about your work with food and planet.
Yeah, absolutely. So 4 years ago, a group of dietitians, so four of us, came together to create Food and Planet. And we really saw that there was a missing piece in health education and nutrition education, where there was no formal education focused on sustainability and the food system. And as nutrition practitioners and health professionals on the forefront of educating people about food and nutrition, sustainability is very much a big part of it. When we think about sustainability, a lot of the information and a lot of organizations out there, first of all, don't include health professionals where we should be engaged in, but also how health professionals see themselves in this space. And we were able to do a survey on our own through a workshop we hosted. We hosted a four-part workshop in 2021, and over 8,000 dietitians have taken that workshop now. And most dietitians believe that they should be really engaged in the food system and engaged in sustainability practices, but lack the knowledge and don't know how. And through the four of us, we have different experiences in sustainability in the food system from a clinical perspective, research perspective. A company perspective, as well as a community perspective. So bringing all these different aspects. And our theory of change at Food and Planet is to talk about the four dimensions of sustainable diets. So not only focusing on planetary health and nutrition, but also focusing on the socio-cultural aspects as well as the economic aspects. So making sure that things are culturally responsive, but also affordable, and things and affordable as well. So these are aspects that often aren't talked about and left off the table, but bringing these all together really create a more dynamic and also comprehensive look at what a food system should look like and sustainable food system should look like.
So you're both educating kind of dietitians and practitioners, and you also create education for kind of community members and like consumers, or is it more train the trainer models?
We have both. So we've been able to create a lot of education to train the trainers. So that is a big gap, not having formal education. Right now we're working on a project with Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future on building out a pilot for different DI, so dietetic internship programs on sustainable food systems. So that's something that should be launching later this year or next year, which is really exciting. And then we've also created different education and curriculum. So our sustainable food systems workshop is a baseline workshop that is open access to everyone. One of our goals at Food and Planet is creating everything as open access resources for health professionals and also for consumers. So everything we engage in is evidence-based and based on the latest sustainability reports around the world, and also non-industry funded. We know that just as health professionals and dietitians, there's so much controversy and conversation and influence that different groups can have in our education or in a lot of materials that are available. So we really want it to be a space where we can create evidence-based information and also not have it be biased in any way. So our funding is all based on foundation funding, where we're able to create materials and education resources for everyone to access for free.
Wow, I commend you for doing that. I know it's a hard space to fundraise, and then when you start putting kind of limitations based on your values and mission, it gets even tighter. And so the fact you've been able to create such a wonderful program while holding on to those values is something pretty incredible.
Thank you. We're really proud of what we've created.
And so I did hear you talk about both sustainability and culturally affirming education. I would love to hear more on how culinary medicine fits into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So last year we've been focusing a lot on blue foods these last few years, focusing on ocean health and aquatic foods, specifically seaweed. All different varieties of seaweed, as well as bivalves, clams, mussels, and oysters. And last year, we were able to put out our first cookbook called Blue Foods as Medicine, which you can download at eataquaticfoods.org. And there's curriculum and this cookbook available, along with recipes and videos to show people how to make these foods. So we are really excited to put this out because it's really bridging all the different aspects we talk about in our theory of change and sustainable diets, but also bringing a resource. And I think one of the big things that we've heard from practitioners and even the public and consumers is the lack of resources and where we can find this type of information. So when we built this cookbook, it was really important, and it's part of our core values to bring in diverse voices, bring in different cultures. So we have a lot of different cultural recipes that are showcasing these foods used in traditional ways in different cultures, but also different recipes showing more innovative ways to use seaweed in different forms or bivalves in different ways. Seaweed is becoming a very hot food or hot topic in among sustainability and even just in the public discourse. But seaweed, has been around for a long time and used in so many different cultures for centuries. And so being able to showcase these foods in a culturally responsive way and showing the traditional uses of how the food was used, and then building out some education around that too. So not just the nutrition info, but background on, how it's cultivated, how it's grown, what are the different names for when you can look for them in the market. So we have the commonly listed names in the most common languages spelled out. So if you were to go online or even at different grocery stores, you would be able to kind of look up that name if you're looking for kelp or looking for wakame, all these different types of foods.
I think that's incredible. So we are recommending potentially new foods for people, and then you're acknowledging the cultural significance or origin of that food, which I think doesn't happen enough in dietetics practice. We learn about something new and it becomes like an aha moment, but it's oftentimes a food that's been used by a specific people or culture for centuries. And we think it's new because we just discover it. So I love that you're kind of reporting on where this food is important, how it's used, how it's important, but then the skills. And so if you recommended for me tomorrow to start using seaweed, I probably wouldn't know how to do that. And so I think this cookbook and what you're describing sounds like a really important piece of the puzzle. So it's not only the recommendation, but also how you do it.
Yeah, totally. How you do it, and then also being able, like you said, being able to recognize, what the history behind it is and some of the cultural uses, and then how that, this isn't a new food, but how can we utilize it, how can we utilize it like people have done before, but also how can we properly use this if we wanted to create something new, like a new recipe. So we have one of the examples is a wakame salad, which is traditionally in a lot of different Japanese restaurants, you can order this, or a lot of people prepare this at home. And then there's also a different way to use seaweed dulse. So we show a variety of different seaweed. And I think there's a lot of lack of knowledge in that space also, because there's so many different varieties of seaweeds out there, but it's all under kind of one broader category named seaweed. So we talk about dulse, tajiki, wakame, kelp, all these different varieties and types and how you use them. Another recipe we created is a pesto using seaweed. So using dulse, a dulse pesto, which is really cool and interesting to try. So all these different ways. And outside of the cookbook, that led to this new project we just started last month, and we kicked that off with Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. So Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch is the go-to resource for sustainable seafood. So you can go to the website seafoodwatch.org, and you could type in any type of seafood, and seaweed is considered seafood. And so you can type anything in there, and it'll show you best, better, all the different types. So you can either, it'll show you how sustainable it is, what type you should find, where it's sourced, all these different things. And we kicked this initiative off with Seafood Watch. This is their 25th year of their Super Green List, and we became their official health partners this year to launch this project. And so with Food and Planet, we are working with dietitians from across the country, all different cultures, showcasing their knowledge on these different cultural foods. So bringing that food as medicine, culinary medicine piece in these different initiatives. So engaging dietitians to show their culture and show their expertise in this space, and then also bridging that with the public so that the public has a resource where they can either use the recipe, tap into the website to learn more about the nutrition info, and then also some of the traditional uses or the history behind the food.
That's amazing. And what it's making me think of is what a wonderful opportunity for a dietitian. And so, can you give me more information on how dietitians who want to get involved with food as medicine or culinary medicine, a good place to start, and B, maybe how to connect with you or some of the work you're doing?
I think there's just so much to this space. And it's, I guess it can be a little overwhelming in terms of like where to start, because most of us, we probably get one world food course or one cultural foods course in our education. And so I think to tap into this, there are a lot of different organizations out there that are doing education. Diversified Dietetics is a great organization where they host a conference each year on all different areas. There's also the Culinary Nutrition Collaborative that specifically hosts workshops and webinars. And then we also host education and workshops based on the project that we're working on. And so I think to start, I mean, I think really just to create more curiosity and educate yourself on just food in general. I think that's that every dietitian has a chance to step into this space. It is definitely part of what we do. And so it's up to us to really learn more about cultural foods, how we can better serve our populations, how we can better serve communities. And it goes beyond just food. It can go into cultural education and educating yourself based on privilege. And there's so many different resources to tackle all these different aspects.
These are really great resources, and I'll make sure to link them so that listeners can kind of navigate and investigate these different organizations. And maybe just lastly, where do you see the field going, both in kind of food as medicine, culinary medicine? Where are we heading, and how do dietitians play a role in that kind of future vision?
I think that dietitians really have an opportunity to lead in this space. I think so many of us in healthcare, health professionals, this is where we can shine. Everything kind of leads to food, and it's, I think, part of the reason why I wanted to become a dietitian is because I do love food so much. And I think being able to engage in food in a lot of different ways and continuing to educate ourselves in this piece, we have an opportunity to lead across the board. So not outside of dietetics, in medical schools, they're building out more culinary medicine opportunities. So, being able to partner there with different organizations, different community-based organizations also need a lot of this education. So, I think that there's so much demand for this and so much opportunity for us to step in and for different health professionals, specifically dietitians, to step into this space. I think the It will just continue to evolve and it will continue to have more intersections across healthcare, but also, in the community, in the workplace, it's all these different aspects because teaching kitchens are also taking off and have been an ongoing thing where they're teaching kitchen spaces in the workplace. Google has a ton of different teaching kitchens in their offices, in food service, obviously in healthcare, so in hospitals, in schools, universities. So there's just so many different ways for us to engage. And then on the community level, being able to have community education. I feel like farmers market, that's where I started, at a farmers market. So farmers markets are a different way to engage also. So there's just so many different ways that we can really instill, engage ourselves as practitioners in the food as medicine movement and the culinary medicine movement and the teaching kitchen movement, either from the community level all the way up to or across, to the corporate level, depending on where we have access to and what we're most interested in.
And you really do lead by example as you're describing this. It's mirrors your career path. And like you said, starting in farmers markets to then working in medical education to then working in nonprofit community-based work to then advocacy and kind of dietetics education. And so you really do it all. And I think it's a great example on how dynamic the field is and how there's so many ways for dietitians to get involved.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Shireen, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it. You've been a role model of mine for a long time. So having the opportunity to talk about your work is really exciting.
Thanks, Olivia, and thanks for all that you're doing.